On this episode of the Fieldhouse Files, the players are holding a mini camp 1 week out from training camp. Chad Buchanan speaks ahead of the first practice, and Bob Kravitz joins.
I know that Fieldhouse Files has a prolific following. You know, I just want to be careful about sharing too much with the world.
And welcome into the Fieldhouse Files, the podcast where I take you behind the scenes with the Pacers, talk to individuals on and around the team, and tell you what you need to know. Hi again, everyone. Thanks for listening in to the Fieldhouse Files here today. I'll get started right away with some action over this past weekend. Up in Noblesville, Benedict Mathurin holding his first basketball camp, about 75 boys and girls ages 12 to 14, players that know the game already, but haven't been invited to those elite camps, that haven't quite gotten that similar opportunity. So it was fun to drive up there Saturday morning to see that in action, to see so many coaches and staff members support him. You had Mike Weiner, Lloyd Pierce, Mo Baker from the coaching staff, teammates, Andrew Nembhard, Kendall Brown, for example. But that was a cool experience that I wrote about as well at fieldhousefiles.com. The camp director was his sister, Jen Mathurin, of note. And the other big thing that I took away from that was how he had it set up. There were six different baskets, and at each basket, they had a different drill that kind of emphasized one of Ben's strengths. So you had everything from Euro steps to floaters to drawing contact, reading the defense, working on the two-point shots, and then the outside shot as well. So I thought that was interesting. All these competitive players and all of them were there. And this wasn't one of those just like, that's cute, the kid's out there and he's with an NBA player. These were like-minded, hard-playing individuals. There were also of note, at least two groups, I think, of girls. So there was a big contingent of them as well, playing each other and getting action as well, which was really cool to see. It was funny, after we talked with Andrew Nembhard, as he talked with us in the media, then the girls came over and they were kind of enamored by him and kind of flirty. It was kind of hilarious in a cute way, I will say there, but a good experience up in Noblesville. Nice to see them give back. And Mathurin also hosted a camp earlier this summer, his first up in Montreal, his hometown. So I thought that was pretty cool, but well done by both Ben and his sister, Jen Mathurin, who is 9 years older. On Monday, did want to note another thing I wrote about was the first team activity at Bicentennial Uni Plaza, the Butler women's basketball team holding practice there. I attended it, talked with head coach Austin Parkinson afterwards. So that was cool because they have all kinds of considerations for that space, concerts, entertainment, pregame stuff. There will be a movie night with Hoosiers coming up, I think, this weekend. There could be, you know, beer festivals or things like that. I don't know what all they have planned. And then in about a month, the transition will be made on the one area where the basketball space is right now. That's going to become an ice skating rink. So that will be really cool. They're marketing and advertising it as larger than Rockefeller Square there in New York City. One thing I reported on fieldhousefiles.com Thursday is the players are out of town. Well, most of them anyway, down in Nashville, Tennessee for a players only mini camp. Which I think is really cool. It's something that has taken hold, I think, across the league, but especially with this Pacers team over the last many years. I remember writing back in 2018 about Victor Oladipo hosting everyone down to Miami, and it's much more than just basketball. Team bonding experiences, maybe bringing in speakers, going out at night and doing fun activities, maybe bowling, those sorts of things, just to bring everyone together. Get excited for a new season. There's not a lot of changes to this roster, obviously. A couple of the veterans are gone, James Johnson and George Hill, Chris Duarte, O'Shea Brissett as well. Obi Toppin added to the fold. Bruce Brown, a free agent signing, plus the rookies. And the rest is mostly the same, but I thought that was really cool that they're doing. And, of course, the Pacers supporting them in any way that they needed, whether that's you're talking about medical or training, anything like that. So well done, I think, by the players, headed up by, of course, Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner. Last thing I wanted to hit on before I get into my conversation here with Bob Kravitz, who, by the way, like me, is now exclusively can be read at Substack here, which is awesome. But Chad Buchanan on Tuesday, speaking with local reporters for the second annual front office reception, hosted about 14 reporters out there, TV, written, blog, all that sort of thing, to try to get on the same page and kind of understand each other, answer our questions. A majority of it was off the record, but there was a 20-minute part where Chad answered any and any and all questions as it related to this team and all those sorts of things. I posted that full interview on fieldhousefiles.com and on YouTube. For the audio portion of this podcast, I'll include Chad's comments at the very end. No need here on YouTube or Spotify. You can go see those, I think, on YouTube should you wish to here. But in summary, like I'll get into with Kravitz, no mention of playoffs. It was all about let's figure out what we have. A lot of competition here come with training camp. Be curious what they look like defensively. That's going to be a huge thing after it's been an abomination the last couple of years on that end of the floor. Benedict Mathurin to begin training camp in that starting lineup. I'm not big on starting lineups. Like a lot of people put a ton of emphasis on that. I don't as much, but it's very much looking, I think, to start. Like it'll be Halliburton, Bruce Brown, Mathurin, Obi Toppin, and Miles Turner. I always say it matters who finishes the game and who gets the most minutes. But I know a lot of players, in particular, it's a status thing. And on top of that, they're used to it, like a Buddy Hield. That's what he's done the majority of his career, being one of the best players out there. We get into Buddy Hield and his future with the team. The rumors about Jrue Holiday, I don't put anything into him. Spoiler alert here for our conversation with Kravy. It's nothing. Like, it makes zero sense for the Pacers to even consider that. I'm surprised it's even being talked about, because somebody's going to make a great bid, and that somebody's going to be a team that is on the cusp, that is a player away from winning a title. Pacers aren't even talking about the playoffs right now. He's 33, is extension eligible. It just does not seem like a perfect match at all. You do consider Rick Carlisle and the Pacers, and really every team loves Jrue Holiday, his contributions, his leadership, his defensive mind, his team first ability and thought, but nah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Media Day coming up on Monday, first day of practice Tuesday, October 3rd. Thanks for listening here to the Fieldhouse Files, and in conjunction with Bob Kravitz and his Substack as well. But here's that conversation with Kravy.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, as promised, I now welcome to the show Bob Kravitz. And Kravy, the best thing about this now is you're on Substack as well. So that's where I wanted to get started. A little off-season change for you here, right? Yeah. Before the football season and obviously Pacers and NBA season. Take listeners inside your decision here to move to Substack and what it's been like for you the last couple of months.
It's been great, actually. It's grown faster than I expected that it would. And, you know, I like the idea of being able to write what I want, when I want, and how I want. And I definitely like The Boss a lot better than I used to because it's me.
Right.
So, you know, today I just knocked out a quick piece on what's going to happen when Jonathan Taylor comes off the PUP list. I think it's going to get real, real ugly. And already people on Twitter are telling me I'm out of my mind. So I know I'm right.
The thing I like to your point about your writing and what you're doing is now you're reacting. It's not just taking 2 weeks on a feature and we're sitting back thinking, what does Kravy, the pulse of Indy, think right now? You already probably have a story up or it's being crafted right now. So I hope that will continue into Pacer season if a certain big move happened or they're on a 5-game win or losing streak, what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I didn't write about Buddy Hield. I'm going to save some of that stuff for Monday when they have media day. But I feel like I'm back at the Indianapolis Star just with a much smaller paycheck. I can deal with that. It's been great fun, actually. It really has. And the Substack community is cool and it's growing. And I like what it offers. And it's easy enough to use it. Even I can figure it.
The only thing we're all having to deal with is the throttling of social media and navigating that. And so what we're really doing is building our own audience so that no matter what social media is out there, hopefully the readers and listeners and all that travel with us. That's kind of the future.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I've got, you know, a pretty good number of paid, but a lot of unpaid free subscriptions. And, you know, the hope is that if I continue to do good work, that some of those couple thousand will be moved over to paid, and we can go to the Bahamas for a vacation. Maybe see Buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome to Substack. It's been fun getting you on board and having another voice in Indy on Substack. I think I've been the only one. There's a very limited kind of NBA audience, although that's growing. There's probably now at least a half dozen I'm aware about. And it seems to be crushing. So that's great. Let's get into Pacer stuff.
Go ahead. Let me just thank you really quickly because you've been my my guide, my spirit guide on this journey. Because as everybody knows, I'm really old and I don't know how this stuff works. And so between you and my daughters, I've had great help along the way. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. Happy to do it. Now you can pay it back for me by doing your annual Thanksgiving Day story.
All right. I'll
always push you for. It's one of my favorites all time every year.
Well, like the dopey report card, I suspect that will come back.
Please make it happen. All right, let's get to it. Pacers, we were there at Gainbridge Fieldhouse earlier this week. Chad Buchanan, GM, was the one that would talk with us on the record. About 20 minutes, answered any and every question that we had there. I'll go first. I think my overwhelming takeaway here was no reference to the playoffs whatsoever. It was all about, again, growth. Let's try to see what we have here. Let's give it a couple months and reevaluate where we're at. And we're still open for business probably in terms of trades. And then I'd say the secondary thing to all of that is we got to figure out the rotation and lineups. There is really nothing set in stone here. So a lot open for interpretation.
Yeah. Look, I think it's going to be Bruce Brown, Obi Toppin, Miles Turner, Tyrese Halliburton, and who am I forgetting?
Benedict Mathurin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Him, too.
The main one.
Clearly, you know, Buddy was told at the exit meetings last year that they're going to look at him being a sixth man. And, you know, I don't blame Buddy Hield. I tweeted this out the other day. I don't blame him at all for this is probably his last chance at a significant payday. You know, he wants to make the playoffs, which is no sure thing with the Pacers. I think they'll be close, but it's no sure thing. And, you know, he doesn't want to be a sixth man at this point in his career. And I totally understand that. So, but I think the Pacers are doing the right thing because I think Mathurin needs to start. He needs to play against the best. And I think they brought him along slowly last year, but I think he's ready.
As I wrote, I think last week in my Buddy piece, I think how the lineups they use and the players that get the minutes, will be a tell of the season. Like, again, they've emphasized how it's not necessarily about the playoffs, but players are, by the way. Tyrese at his camp said we're going to. Ben at his camp this past Saturday said that's the number one goal for him this offseason. But he's never reached the playoffs, so all he's going to want to do is get paid and win and have some fun out there. So you kind of have these two paths colliding, and they need to choose a direction. Right now it feels like they're headed towards one, but maybe the course will be corrected a little bit. I don't know. That to be determined. But the thing with Buddy is interesting because, yeah, you're right. At the end of the season, they didn't even want to play him. But he said, I'm not sitting. So right. they started Benedict. Buddy came off the bench. But we all know Buddy's best, at least from what we've seen, when he's out there with Tyrese. So there's just so many factors to consider.
Right. And you know, and we'll talk about this, you know, coming up here, but Zach Lowe from ESPN had a piece where he said the Pacers are going to be one of the players in the Jrue Holiday sweepstakes. And that does not follow what Chad Buchanan said to us. Chad Buchanan clearly was looking at the long game. I don't think they're going to be, to me, Jrue Holiday is a guy you bring in when you're one player away. When you're like the Milwaukee Bucks in whatever year it was, 2019 or so, and went on to win a championship. The Pacers are not a player away, even one as good as him. Now, I like the trade that he threw out there, Daniel Theis, Buddy Hield, and a couple of first-rounders. But I don't think, based on what I've heard from the Pacers and what we heard from Buchanan, I don't think they're ready to take that step just yet. And that may frustrate some fans who want to win now and are tired of waiting. But I still think that they got to play the long game here.
Yeah, to me, that makes no sense. And on top of that, I think because of the competitiveness and you talk about teams being a player away, you're going to get better offers than that. I mean, just spitballing here. I mean, Miami badly wanted Dame. Of course, they're going to go after Jrue Holiday. To me, the perfect fit for both sides is one of the L.A. teams. He's from L.A. Family lives out there. Both him and his wife, Lauren Cheney, from here, Lauren Holiday, went to UCLA. I mean, it's all there in the backyard. Both teams could win a championship if they stay healthy. To me, you're right. It makes zero sense for the Pacers for a 33-year-old to come here on a roster where point guard and guard is one of the biggest areas they still need to clarify. They already got Tyrese, T.J. McConnell, Andrew Nembhard, by the way, who's aspiring to be just like Jrue Holiday. So to me, I'm curious because Zach doesn't just throw things out unless maybe he was just spitballing here as well. But that doesn't fit the timeline. You're right. Chad even referenced how he said we're not going to take any shortcuts. He said they're not going to, you know, go after one big thing to make a difference here. So to me, I throw that out.
Yeah, and, you know, like last year when they were, 21-18 and playing really well, and then, of course, Tyrese got hurt. But they started thinking, maybe we're a little closer than we think.
It was fool's gold, Kravy.
Fool's gold. And really, in a perverse sort of way, the best thing that could have happened was that the season kind of went sideways.
Yep.
Because I would have hated for them to make a win-now move. At 21-18, you know, and moving on, I think that would have made no sense, and I think that would have hurt them in the long term.
What's the offseason conversation been, right? Where do you figure the balance between young guys and veterans? Where do the veterans fit in? You want to add another veteran at guard? Right. It makes zero sense to me. Yeah. If anything, you need to move off a guy. And I guess since we're already on this discussion, let's go there with Buddy. I mean, I don't see any clarity coming on this anytime soon other than odd situations like Dame wanting out. You just don't see trades this time of year. Rosters are set. You're entering training camp. You try to figure out what you have for the first couple of months. And by late December, most teams know what they have. And so I don't see anything probably happening until then.
Yeah, and that's dangerous. I mean, I think there's a danger there because, look, Buddy's a great, great teammate. He's not going to be the kind of guy who's going to cause all sorts of problems. But you know, he doesn't want to be coming off the bench and, you know, that he wants out. I mean, he wants a better situation where he can make more money and be a starter. I think that's fraught with danger. Moving on with your season with Buddy coming off the bench.
That's what they got to figure out. Can they strike a balance where Ben starts, but Buddy gets most of his minutes with Tyrese. I don't know how you figure it out. I don't envy Rick Carlisle and his staff at all, because there are so many minutes questions extending to where does Daniel Tice and TJ McConnell fit in, for example. Like, right. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it will be. I love McConnell's game. I mean, who doesn't love McConnell? Yeah. And he loves being here. He loves being a Pacer. But, you know, you've got to think about the timeline and where he fits in the long term. Yeah, I mean, he may be a great locker room guy. I have no idea. I'm not in the locker room. But, I would hate to see them move McConnell in any way.
My guess would be if someone gets moved, it's McConnell first. Just because of the overlap, the lack of minutes, and how many veteran teams we're talking, the teams that maybe don't get Drew Holiday might be interested in TJ McConnell as a guard there. I think it's like $8 million this year and then a partial guarantee next year. But to go back, I guess, to what Chad was discussing, the lack of playoff mentions, trying to figure out the rotation certainly stood out. What else popped to you that you learned maybe from our visit on Tuesday?
Gosh, that was those two things you mentioned.
Yeah,
pretty much it. They love what Bruce Brown brings. I was looking at some stats the other day, which is really unusual for me. But Bruce Brown, Tyrese, and Obi Toppin are like the three best players in the league in
transition.
Transition. Thank you. I'm like, what the hell's the word? Yeah, in transition. And so you know how they're going to play. The big thing, and one of the other things I took out of it, is they have got to be a better team defensively. They were miserable last year. They weren't a very good rebounding team either. I don't know that they're going to be with this group, but you hope that Jairus Walker would help them defensively. You would hope that Halliburton becomes a better defender. Nembhard already is a pretty good defender. Miles, obviously, is Miles. But they've got to be better defensively, and I think Jim Boylan – who I've known for 100 years. I think he's going to help. I really do.
Yeah, that was the notable offseason change. Him in, Ronald Norrett out, Jenny Busick front of the bench, Boylan will be behind, but he's been a head coach. He's been here before. He's won a championship with San Antonio, and he's your old school fire you up coach, and he's really focused on that defensive end. And another thing I'm sure following up next week or the next week on is coaching assignments, because when Rick mentioned that Ron would not be back, well, he mostly coached the defense, and Mike Weiner did much of the offense. And for the first time, Rick said in his career, he might not assign coordinators. It might be by committee or per game. That was back in July, and they're still figuring that out. So I'll be curious what that maybe has morphed into over the last few months.
This is going to be a really interesting training camp, because there are so many questions, and they're not bad questions like who the hell's going to play these minutes. They've got a lot of guys who deserve minutes.
Who's the odd man out is the question.
That's right. Who's going to get the short end of the stick in this whole thing? And I'm not really sure, but to me, again, they've got to think about the long game here. And that's why, as much as I love McConnell and his game, you're right. He's probably one of the first guys that they would think about moving. And, you know, and that's why I just don't think that Drew Holiday, as much as I love watching that dude play, I don't think he fits mm-hmm. what the Pacers are trying to do in the long term.
Yeah, I would totally agree. So does that mean come the season, you'd be good if they prioritize getting Ben more minutes and Nembhard more minutes and figure out maybe finally Jalen Smith and Isaiah Jackson, one or the other. And I don't know, don't play him Tice, but that's very awkward because he's one of your veterans. He's coming off a great tournament with the German national team winning a gold medal. He's finally healthy. He's too good to sit the bench. That's where it gets awkward.
Yeah. And how, you know, it's been a couple of years since we could have this kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Well, they got too many guys here, you know, fighting for minutes. And, you know, I mean, Tice was okay. I don't know if you'd agree or not, but when the number of minutes he played, he was okay. I'm still not quite sold on Isaiah. Jalen, I just, you know, I was scratching my head when they made him the starter, right when they signed him to the contract. So no, it's going to be interesting to see who emerges from that group.
I thought the Pacers had learned from that last year because it didn't make any sense after at his press conference mentioning, hey, Jalen, not only we're happy to have him here, but he's going to be starting at the four. It's like, I remember 2 months ago talking with Jalen after being acquired from Phoenix saying he really doesn't play much of the four, but because Miles is here, he'll try. Right. Like one of the first times in his life that he's going to be playing the four. And then this year they had stayed away from that, except they mentioned, well, Ben's going to begin as the starter. It felt like it was kind of a soft blow to try to ease that thought. Even though we heard Ben during the NBA Finals, a TV broadcast say, yep, I'll be starting at the three next season. So it's very interesting.
It's time for Ben. It's time. I mean, Rick gave him tough love last year, made him come off the bench, wanted. And I think we're going to see the benefit from that tough love this year. I think, you know, Rick wants him to be a big time two-way player. He wasn't that at all times last year. And I think he wants more consistency of effort from him.
Yeah, because the reality is that the franchise is going to take a leap. It's going to be in large part because Ben takes a big leap and gets more substantial minutes and takes after his best friend Lou Dort on the defensive end and can and not be a liability and does what the coaches say and is a little bit better of a teammate. He even acknowledged he was a little standoffish last year. And those are little things you're going to learn as a 19-year-old in your rookie season. So that's intriguing to me, I think. Is there one player, one situation more than most, like throwing out the heel one, that you'll be following closely?
You're making me think here, Agnes, and I don't appreciate it.
I mean, I think Tyrese, how does he respond to getting the significant contract and being the face of the team? Or Miles, does he get content because he's got 2 years guaranteed? Like,
I'm
there's
really
so many little things.
About Miles. I'm really curious about Miles. I mean, people think I hate the guy, and I really don't. I think he's a really nice guy, and he's been good for this organization. He's been good for the city. But, you know, clearly he was in a position where he had to prove himself last year. And I'm still surprised they didn't trade him. I thought for sure he was going to get traded, but wrong again. But I'm curious to see, he's thinking all-star game. I think he's crazy. But, hey, you know, if that's your goal, good for you. Go for it.
Yeah. I think he's in a great place from what I've seen and talked. Like he knows who he is now, I think. And it's not an identity crisis or anything like that, but you're still young and trying to figure out who you are. How do you fit in? And I think he's there now. So now you just, this team, I think going back to the defense, which might be the most interesting to me now that we come back to it, is I'm at the point now where I'll believe it when I see it. How many times have they talked about that and rebounding? Since probably the Frank Vogel, Nate McMillan years. Like, it's been 3 or 4 years consistently here. And to finish, I think, 28th and 26th in defensive rating the last 2 years, respectively, it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be top 10, but it's got to be reasonable. It's 15th.
Right.
Because the offense is already good enough. It's worrying about that defensive end. But the challenge, again, going back to personnel, is right now you have more one-sided players with a few exceptions, a Miles and Andrew Nembhard. Like, there was many times last season, Kravy, where Halliburton might be offense-defense substitution or be taken out for the final 2 minutes. Like, he's got to be good enough. Yeah, exactly.
He can't be a liability, not if he wants to become the great player that he wants to become. I think that's pretty clear. Now, you know, I wouldn't count out Nembhard. You know, I mean, not that you were, but I really believe he's going to be – a very good player in this league. I think he'll be coming off the bench. You know, I think clearly he's going to be coming off the bench, but boy, there's a lot to like about him.
I think what I'm expecting is for him to get the backup point guard minutes. Now we'll see. That'll shake itself out a little bit in the preseason. But again, if you're having that futuristic long-term vision, like Chad just emphasized this week, I think Nembhard's your backup point guard. And then you also try to get him some backcourt minutes with Halliburton, which can help offset some of the defensive liabilities.
Right. No, I agree with that completely.
And the funny part is we're, 20 minutes into this conversation, and there are guys that played 30 minutes per game last season we haven't even mentioned. Where's Aaron Nesmith fit in this equation? Where's Jordan Mora fit in this equation?
I forgot all about him.
Right?
I think he's a solid bench guy, good rotation guy. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, using him at the four last year was, that was painful. That was, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, just didn't get any rebounding out of him. And I mean, a nice player, but yeah, just a rotation guy.
Yeah. And then I think Jordan Warr is going to be one of those players that's on the outside of the rotation to start. And that's a good problem, as you said earlier. It's now that's finally a good problem to have players good enough there. Do you worry at all there's not that vet on the team this year? There wasn't a James Johnson. There's not a George Hill. I think if you move off a couple of these guys, then there's that concern. But right now you got like four over 31, so maybe it's not as big of an issue.
Right. I'll tell you what, you know, when you talked to players last year, the impact that James Johnson had on that team, you know, and it reminds me, who is the big center they got from Charlotte many years ago? That the Pacers got, he was a power forward center for several years, and then he was on the bench. Why am I not remembering?
I'm drawing a blank here. Al Jefferson.
Oh, Al Jefferson. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank God for your young, facile mind.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was the guy in the room.
It's another coach in the locker room, basically.
Another coach, a guy who held everybody accountable, no BS. So, you know, that's going to be an issue for them. And, you know, if they move off a Buddy, there's a guy that, you know, an over 30 guy that they're going to lose. If they move on McConnell, they lose, you know, sorry, I got a text here from my wife.
Oh, you're good. All good, man.
What a great podcaster I am. But yeah, those guys have huge impacts on a young locker room. And so, yeah, that would be something I'd be concerned about. And I don't know how they fix that necessarily.
Yeah, those are kind of my feelings. If you're talking about future and long term, that means you're young and need some kind of guys in there that – I think, as they alluded to, was basically James was an extension of the coaching staff. When something comes from your teammate, you feel it. Right. It hits you a little bit differently than maybe it feels like a coach trying to drill something into you a little bit. So I think that's something not of concern, but you keep your eye on here for the first couple of months going. I think James is probably done playing. He didn't contribute too much on the court. I think George Hill's going to try to give it one more year. Maybe he gets signed midseason. There's injuries somewhere. Maybe a team like the Pacers has, makes a couple trades, has a free roster spot. Then you bring in a guy like that. But I think that's very much a to be determined here.
Right. I would agree with that. I'll tell you what, I am just kind of bringing it full circle. I'm really excited about this season. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, they were fun to watch last year, but they were so bad defensively and on the boards that it took some of that away. But I just think they're going to score a ton of points again. They're going to be fast. They're going to run like crazy. Great in transition. But again, I think Jim Boylan talked about him being their biggest offseason acquisition. Well, I mean, Bruce Brown and Obi Toppin are pretty big too. But
yeah,
I think that's very, very important for this team because they were just horrendous defensively last year.
Yeah, and I do want to know, Boylan was a consultant for the team last year. He was around often, but to my knowledge, didn't really have a voice. And it's hard if you're the sixth coach out there. Like, you know, there's other people ahead of you trying to instill values and all those different things. So you're right. I think this team's only on league or only on national TV once. So it's going to be like a top five league pass team to watch because, you know, Tyrese is fun. It'll be interesting to see the three guys that played in the World Cup. Usually there's a nice leap or high coming off of that moving into your season. And so I'll be curious to see what Daniel Tyson, obviously Ty, looks like coming off of that as well, because they're going to be fresh. Those guys really didn't have too much of an offseason.
No, they didn't. That's the only thing that would concern me is just, you know, where their legs are. Maybe Rick gives them a little bit of a break during training camp, limits their exposure a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you know, you see guys come back from the Olympics or any kind of international ball, and they do seem to take that leap.
Last thing here, as we look ahead, I think one of the other things to be excited about is February, where not just the Pacers, but Indianapolis will be, you know, followed. I mean, it's astounding how many countries and markets the television broadcast of All-Star Weekend hits there. I assume you didn't cover it in 1985 when you, I assume you might have been
I
Denver.
Did.
You did?
I was in Pittsburgh.
Really?
I'll tell you the story later.
Okay.
Off the air. But I was in Pittsburgh and they sent me out here for some reason. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
I do remember spending a lot of time at the Slippery Noodle. Had a blast. And yes, I was here. You know, that was Larry Bird. That was Ralph Sampson. I mean, that was
and it was at the RCA Dome too.
The old RCA Dome. It was like, what, 70,000 people, whatever the number was. It was unbelievable. But yes,
I think it was the second largest attended down at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, I think like Dallas, 5 years ago, but second most attended.
I have to say, I hate the game. There's got to be something. It's like the NFL Pro Bowl. The game is hard to watch. I mean, it doesn't even have a passing resemblance to competitive basketball. it makes me crazy. Now, I found the slam dunk competition very compelling.
Saturday night, which will be at Lucas Oil Stadium,
Saturday
by the way.
Oil,
but the main game will be at
Gainbridge. Right. And I'm not, I don't know. I'm glad it's coming here. It's great for the city. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. But the game itself leaves me pretty cold.
Well, very good, Kravy. I appreciate you joining here. Fans, followers, readers can join you at bobkravitz.substack.com.
I got fans, man.
You got fans and enemies, don't you? Or at least not anymore, maybe.
Yeah, no, still.
Thank you, Kravy.
All right, buddy.